Está começando o MSPcast, o podcast do prestador de serviço de TI. No episódio de hoje, nós vamos conversar com duas figuras incríveis. Temos convidados internacionais, Bruno Zanella, é isso mesmo?
Você viu só como o MSPcast está crescendo, passando barreiras, passando limites.
Atravessando fronteiras.
É isso aí.
Demais, demais. Brunão, hoje a gente vai conversar sobre backup, proteção de dados, recuperação de desastre, MSP Summit.
Exatamente.
E descobrir que também um pouquinho sobre surf. Além de surf, falar de windsurf. E vamos falar um pouquinho sobre como é Polônia, como é Bielorrússia, vamos falar
Varsóvia,
sobre como é Varsóvia,
Alemanha, Boston.
Muitos países em um só episódio, não é
muitos
isso?
Muitos países em só duas pessoas.
Vai ser demais, vai ser demais. Se você quiser saber mais sobre tudo isso, se você quer participar desse papo, por favor, fica com a gente nesse episódio, logo depois da vinheta começa. Está começando o nosso episódio e, Bruno, quem é que está com a gente hoje?
A partir desse momento, se você aí estava no Summit, você pode colocar o seu radinho, que vai ter uma tradução simultânea.
Só que dessa vez em legendas, por escrito.
Texto, é. Cara, hoje a gente tem aqui com a gente duas pessoas incríveis, maravilhosas. Eu acho que muitos de vocês já conhecem o Stefan. Ele é vice-presidente da Enable, voltado para os produtos do Cove. É um amigo nosso de longa data aí, ele é um alemão, casado com uma brasileira de Rio Pomba, em Minas Gerais, mas hoje atualmente ele mora em Boston, a Enable tem um escritório em Boston, então tem uma base lá onde ele fica hoje, e junto com ele está o Victor. Victor é um russo que morou a vida inteira na Bielorrússia e recentemente se mudou para a Polônia, e hoje ele é o principal Product Manager dos recursos de restauro do Cove. Então, todos aqueles recursos que estão dentro da aba de continuidade, é ele quem toma conta, é para ele que você deve reclamar, é para ele que você deve pedir novos recursos.
Coitado, imagina a caixa de mensagem dele depois desse episódio. E é por esse motivo que, a partir desse momento, a gente vai fazer um episódio em duas línguas. Parte em português, parte em inglês, para facilitar. Então, claro que você está assistindo esse episódio gravado. Se você está somente por áudio, te convido a visitar o canal do YouTube da AD, onde nós teremos o episódio completo com toda a legenda para facilitar para vocês, beleza? Vamos lá? Então,
yes.
Nesse momento, giraremos a chavinha e let's talk in English right now. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you guys here, you both, and I'd like to start just presenting yourself. Stefan, could you present yourself for our public, please?
Of course, and I'll do this in English, but I like the backup sem fronteras, you know, idea, right? So it's awesome. So my name is Stefan, Stefan Voss, and like you said, I'm the chief product owner for Cove Data Protection. Yeah, I'm from Germany, so Alemão. Minha esposa é brasileira, da Minas Gerais, e é uma língua muito diferente, né? Um pouquinho complicado.
Mineirês.
Mineirês is so different than Portuguese.
Very different. And we live in Boston. We have two children, and like you say, I'd love to be outside a lot, right? Windsurfing and anything that gets me outdoors, I generally love.
That's great.
That's cool. You might have the possibility to watch Stefan surfing. He recorded a self video while he's doing wine surfing, talking about COVID. It's super cool. You have to see.
If you are checking this episode by video, I will ask for our production to include this video in the edition. Yeah. So right now you probably are seeing this performance, professional performance.
I wouldn't say quite professional, but it was my contribution. It was my first week at work. We had a QBR, and I was like, oh man, I'm going to miss it, and that looks really, really bad. So I wanted to at least try to provide something to make the point. Cove is a healthy way, right, to do backup. You can get time back, and it actually helps you to focus on other things. But I wasn't know how it's going to go. You know, maybe they would have fired me. This guy is on vacation surfing while we're having
crazy
QBR. What are we doing, right? So... luckily, I'm still here.
That's cool.
That's great, great.
And Victor is one of my best Belarusian friends. So please present yourself.
Maybe it's my best Belarusian one. Not one most of. It's the The best Belarusian friend that we have.
You guys.
He is such an amazing, lovely person, and was one of the best hiding of Stefan.
Yeah, so I would agree with that.
So. Together
and
as
you will
Yuli
present
as well.
Yourself in Portuguese. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Pastel.
Boa tarde. So, hello everyone. My name is Victor, and I work in Kov, and my which is part of Enable product family, and my main responsibility areas are disaster recovery and let's call it restore experience, general restore experience.
That's great. Welcome again. We're glad to receive you guys here, and you were not here just to record this episode. You were here at our office at Indaiatuba at São Paulo State, because you guys was in the MSP Summit, the better, mm-hmm. biggest, and the most important event about managed service in Brazil.
100%.
Well said. And I'd like to start this conversation, just listen from you guys. What do you feel at the event? Just please give us some feedback and say to our audience that was not there, what happened there and your impressions. Because I really feel who was not there after listening you guys talking about the event will for sure buy the tickets for the next year event.
They should. I hope so. Definitely they should do that.
We have to sell some tickets.
Yeah. Stefano.
You want me to start? Yeah, I mean, look, I highly recommend you guys go to the event. It's really, really, really good. And the reason I used to work at a large tech company, and these trade shows are all the same. You get a lot of people, right? They do vendor pitches. It's a bit transactional. And what you managed to create was amazing, very amazing experience. It's a peer-to-peer learning. I thought you had an excellent selection of topics, great speakers, clearly, right? Me included. I'm kidding, but I mean, sure. Really, I thought all the speakers did a nice job talking about not only their passion for the products like Ncentral, Insight, Gove, but also sharing some knowledge, where's the journey going? But I think what was most valuable is just the peer-to-peer interaction. Mm-hmm. And MSPs talking to MSPs. And for us, I definitely, for me, it was very useful just understanding the perspectives of you all who are using the product, the feedback. That's always a product manager's dream. So it felt light, you know, in a sense. It was easy to access and talk to people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this rigid, I'm going to walk around 2,000 miles to go from one booth to another, collecting too much stuff that I bring home to the kids. But rather, it was very meaningful. The content was great, and I believe everyone who went there got something out of it, mm-hmm. if they wanted to get something out of it, for sure.
Great.
That's cool. How about you?
I completely agree with that. So what I can say, okay, so as well as Stefan, so I participated in many events in the past, right? And this one of the best, so congratulations. I think it's a big win for you and for industry in Brazil as well. I'm product manager, right? So when I see something, some event, firstly, as a product manager, I assess it, right? From product manager standpoint, I'm trying to understand if the company or some particular group of the people, when they organize something, actually thought about their consumers, right? And your consumers actually participant. And I was amazed how everything was well thought and how everything was organized to provide value to your customers, to participants, right? Choice of the place, choice of the place of the event, right? So obviously, you did it in the way you did it to stimulate networking, right? Because it's one of the most important things, mm-hmm. if we talk about some events. Second, choice of speakers, right? So obviously, you wanted to provoke some discussions, right? and again to stimulate some particular way of thinking in your audience, right? Except of that, logistic. So how many? 500, 600, 700? Yeah. Right? Something like this. So
yeah, like in total, like on-site and online.
Right. And so I was impressed by numbers in the beginning, but when you actually told me that only like something like 15 people like organized everything and the logistic and 2 days. So it was very impressive. So again, like congratulations. So again, I think it's a very successful event, very, very well organized with a lot of value for participants, right? So I highly encourage everyone to participate next year if you want to grow your business and actually meet with people who are doing the same, exchange opinion, and together help this market grow.
That's super cool. I really thank you about this perspective that you guys present to us. And what is really important for me is sometimes the participant cannot understand what is happening and how big this thing could be for him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the attendee just go for an event, meet some people, just pass them through sponsors, grab some stuffs, and cannot understand or really enjoy the whole point of the event. So understand what you guys felt and how was the event for you guys means a lot for us and also for the guys that is watching us, because everyone can understand what an event should represent for a people and for his company and for like knowledge accomplish and develop all of this stuff in a single day or two or stuff like that.
Yeah, this year's subject of this edition was connection. Connection was the main title of the event. Everything that we did was with this mission in mind. We really like to create an ambient where the connection could happen. The connection between people, the peer-to-peer that you were saying, the connection between the contents, the sponsors, the brands, the business, the companies, the MSPs, the other service providers, other companies, other IT managers, everyone connected. Mm-hmm. This is the idea of the MSP Summit. And as Bruno already said, thank you about this feedback. It's really nice to listen to this kind of thing. We work hard all the year, the entire year, to create the best event as we can. And I'm really sure that we are almost there. Mm-hmm. Almost there.
And also because like we only exist, not only, but the main reason that we are here is because of Enable, right?
Sure.
So all the event, all the content, all the tools that our customers was able to use is because of Enable. So having this feedback like from literally Enable means a lot to us. This it's super cool. We did that. We do that because of you guys.
It's a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And it was a real pleasure to see everything in person. So I've heard before about your event last year, right? And Stefan was, wow, whoa.
You have to see.
And then
what are you talking about? Actually, that's true.
You guys were able to meet some of our customers.
I had several conversations. You too, I think, right? So
that's
like
cool.
In, actually, everyone I was talking about, so obviously
about COVID, maybe?
About COVID as well, but first about event, like how it was. So everyone super happy, right? And my second question for sure was like, by the way, do you use COVID?
This could be a super
great product, right? Like very healthy.
Can I show you something?
Right. You have 5 minutes to listen the COVID words.
Do you want to talk about COVID?
You have 5 minutes to see a completely restore.
Yeah, yeah, and some of them, by the way, some big MSPs actually using COVID, and we exchange emails. So because we are very open in COVID and Enable, our approach, right, something that can put us a bit aside of competition, that we are very open company. We we try to be very open, not only with some particular customer type or segment or like, I don't know, distributors, but like with any customer, any, and usually we even don't call them customers, right? Because they are partners. I mean, if you grow, if MSPs grow, so our business also grows. So, and we treat our partners in this particular way.
And this is super cool because what we felt here is that you guys are like super open to talk about business and products. Yeah. Along with these guys here, we have in our office, Ewan from Insight and Central. We have Camila from Take Control. We have Felipe from Distribution. And every single one have at least one meeting with our one of our customers. So if anyone wants to ask something or talk about their business or a product in specific, I probably these guys would be like super open to talk about that, right?
Yeah, what's cool is actually we're not like, it's like, again, previous company, big IT typical, it's like a selling show. Now look, we want to sell, we want to make money, but it's not a transactional thing because as Victor says, when our partners grow, we grow. It's a very usage oriented. So we got to make sure the product works well, delivers, and has a real, like it's connected to the ground. It's not some BS, hey, look at feature this and stuff that no, but it's actually very real. And the conversations were like that. I have this workflow. I have this challenge. How can we work together and maybe make some tweaks in the product to enable you, pun intended, to do your job better? And this is really nice, right? It's not like you're selling something, you walk away, you know, so this constant feedback loop connected to real work that our partners do is, yeah, again, very refreshing.
And besides this kind of business view and this kind of company, we have a great product here. And I'd like to use the opportunity to talk with you both to specifically show why Cove. Why Cove Data Protection is basically the best backup software that we could find in the market. And for sure, we are not saying it just because this is the enable software, this is the ADIS software, but because it's true. It's true. Cove is unbelievable. And when we put together this unbelievable software, this unbelievable technology with this kind of business, this kind of open company, and this kind of open leaders where we can, with who we can discuss all the details and make the business better, for sure the result will be the best. So I'd like to use this opportunity to talk about the product, to talk about the how can I say, the difference, not the difference, the best points?
Yeah, the main points.
The main points, okay.
Right? Why do I care, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd like to use this opportunity to talk about the best points, the main topics, and to show for our audience why Cove Data Protection is for sure the best cloud backup.
Yeah. So Stefan, what do you think? What we do better than the other backup vendors?
What do we do better than
others? Let's talk about that. We call it Covi, nice, superfood, maneira saudável de fazer backup for a reason, right? So, look, I mean, we all want to go to the cloud, number one. We all worried about the threat landscape and being able to restore from a destructive cyber attack. Like, people don't wake up, I need a cloud backup. No, but they understand, like, how can I bring my customers back, right? And the third thing is we never have enough people. So there you go. That's like three main things. So three, like the skill shortage is very real. So the first thing we tend to focus on is why even a SaaS-based, cloud-based data protection solution? I could use an appliance. I could use, you know, something like from a company, a competitor that starts with a V and is a software, and I have to somehow load it on a server and then I have to buy storage, right? So the primary premise behind SaaS-based, cloud-based is because you're going to save time. And it's agile. So you don't have to believe anything I say. Please just do a trial. See for yourself. And you can do that with a SaaS-based product. You can, at 15 minutes, it's yours. You don't have to size an environment. So that's number one, right? So technician time immediately gets dramatically reduced. We hear up to 90%. Like people, three people, four people managing a backup before, standardize on Cove, and now all of a sudden, why is this important? Well, if we believe that the cloud is important, and we believe that security is a thing, I need to spend time learning about this, right? What is Azure? How does it work? What are the services available? If I want to build a security practice, which is a good way to become profitable and have profitable growth, I need to invest time. Mm-hmm. I cannot do that when I'm doing storage expansion, maintenance, patching all day long, just to provide a backup and the ability to restore. So that's number one. Then there is the second piece. It's like, well, why is Cove so special? Well, we're very efficient, right? We have this thing called TrueDelta. And when you want to bring data from the edge, like your desktop laptop or servers or Azure VMs, to the core, which is our data center, you need to be very efficient.
This is the magician behind
the secret sauce, right? I like to why architecture matters, right? It's not about the 10 features or why this feature is better, but it's the architecture. And the benefit, the business benefit is, because of that, you can actually take backups more often. So recovery point objective keeps small. And your recovery time objective, RTO, is also smaller because you move less data, right? So that's kind of like where I look at. And then there's all the stuff around it, super easy to use, multi-tenancy, right? Those are almost table stakes, but you believe it or not, some competitive products, you need like 3 dashboards just to get the job done, right? So that's what I would say. So that already gives you access to save time, do things much more efficiently. And then the question, of course, is, that's great, but how do I do disaster recovery, right? What are my options? So, Victor, what do you think about our disaster recovery options?
Our disaster recovery options. So, considering that I'm the person who actually is working on our disaster recovery options, I can say to everyone, they are just perfect.
I like this. It's just perfect.
And I can explain why they're perfect. Because our disaster recovery options is some set of tools, right, which you can use. It's based like on your particular needs, right, in some particular situations. And some of them completely free. Mm-hmm. Like our one-time restore is like, please, if you just need this particular type of recovery, of disaster recovery, to Azure, to Hyper-V, to VMware, VSSI, so no problems. If you're okay with longer RTO, right? If you need short one, if you need to create some disaster recovery failover place, right, for your workload, and you actually understand that your end customers need it, it's short RTO, you can use standby image, which actually, what is it? It's a continuous restore, so we just create a copy of your production machine, right, and constantly update it after every backup. And it within reach like, of minutes. If you need it, you just switch it on. That's it. It's done. So 1-2 minute max, I think.
Perfect.
And also you can test the VM.
Absolutely, right. And if you
restore.
It's a very good point. Thank you. For compliance, for some regulatory requirements, right? Like sometimes you need to do recovery testing, and again, you can use like either our automated service for that if you just don't want to spend time on setting everything up. But again, if you want to somehow to lower your costs, right, you just don't want to spend money on our automated service, which actually will free some of your MSP technician, right, to do some other job, maybe more important for business, mm-hmm. instead of just spinning up some VMs, right? You can use, again, SBI, because we have embedded recovery testing in this feature.
That's super cool. The little Windows screenshot, for me, it's super fancy.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's because it provides a very clear picture where we are, right? If it's done or not, if it's working or not working.
You know what? Once I was talking to a customer, and he asked me, how much costs the standby image with the restore test? And I say, $5 or something. And he say, oh, that's super expensive. I mean, expensive? How much your technician wastes of time to do a manual restore test? He say, about an hour. And your technicians cost less than $5 an hour? He said, no. It's okay, so it's
minimum
cheap.
Wage right there. Yeah. But you know why? I think sometimes you get lucky.
It's a simple
right?
math.
Yeah. Because a restore is not a restore, right? It depends on what kind of disaster you want to restore from. So, and it just so happens that when we talk to most, I mean, we did like many survey after survey, no surprises here. Most worry about how can I recover from a destructive cyber attack. So when we see some of the vendor gymnastics, right? Oh yeah, instant restore, man. I can spin it up in the cloud. Guess what? That is nothing to do with reality, right? So we just happen to have an architecture that A, delivers a lot of flexibility, as Victor said, and it delivers fast and reliable restores. So what do you need to have reliable? Well, I guess you need to have make sure that your copies are even available. So when you are running your backup infrastructure on the same network as the data that you're protecting, not only are you spending a lot of that technician time to do work that you could apply otherwise, you're actually exposed, right? Because a lot of the cyber attackers, what they do, of course, ransomware gangs, they go after backups. Why? Because obviously if I can take away your backups, it's more likely for me to get the money or the ransom. So isolation is key. Cove isolated by default. The copies are offsite. So that's a key benefit that's often overlooked. And then, you know, when you restore, like, pretend we have this incident. You know, you have a ransomware attack. Oh, my God, what happens? Typically, what happens is that Victor over here is going to be the incident response commander. He's my security guy. And he will tell me where to restore to. It doesn't matter where I happen to have an appliance. Because he's saying, I have over here a sandbox. I need you to restore this very specific data over here. Then I will run some additional tests, do a password rotation, and then I will restore back into production. And for this to happen, you need a lot of flexibility, right? You need the ability to say, I'm going to point the copy over here. I have a server over there, right? Or a NAS. Or maybe I'm going to use even an Azure instance. And what's super cool about this as well, if you have 100 machines, right? But only 10 of them are critical. They have your foundation services, Active Directory. You could do a proactive restore for those because you're going to need to restore those first, right? So having the ability to have a short recovery time for critical machines, but then doing an on-demand restore for the rest is another example of flexibility.
Now, and I said a super lot, easy to use.
Super easy to use.
That's super cool.
That that is not the problem. The biggest challenge really should be like think about first, do I even know who Victor is? Because that's going to be the bigger challenge. Forget about what backup solution you're buying, but thinking about the process and what is the prioritization of the workloads or the servers that I need to bring back. That's probably good. But you can at least now focus on this as opposed to, again, patching your backup infrastructure. You know what I mean? Like,
And it's for every scenario. Can we back up workstations?
Yes.
Can we back up servers?
Yes.
And what about Mac?
Yes.
Windows?
Yep.
Linux? And
servers is not just physical. It can be an Azure VM as well, right?
So virtual and physical device.
Correct.
Local or in the cloud.
Correct.
And I can restore as a virtual. I can do bare metal.
Yes.
I can do it for the cloud, as you guys said. So I'm fully covered by Cove.
With all scenarios.
Yeah.
Right. With our recent addition of Restore to Azure, actually we cover this particular use case when you have workload in Azure, right? Some VMs. Before that, some customers were using Cove to protect these machines, but we didn't have convenient way to restore back, right? So they use some like workaround. So, and by the way, is Cove instead of embedded Azure backup, because Cove provided more capabilities. It's air-gapped in another cloud, right? Give you more reliability talking about backup. And in addition, as MSP, you can have like a bigger margin if you use Cove.
But your guys are in German, in US, in Warsaw, at Minsk, and any place. But my data have to be here in Brazil. We have data centers in Brazil.
Yeah.
So we can have this data here. We can have this data totally under all the legal things and all the protecting.
That's very true.
The protected rules here in Brazil, yeah?
So we're data protection company, so we know that we have to follow regulations. So we have if there are regulations that your data shouldn't go somewhere like abroad across the border, right? Somewhere as a place, I don't know, to some other country. So everything should be okay here. So in every region, we have data centers specifically created to solve this particular need.
So this is why you said perfect.
Right, exactly.
That's great.
And also, we didn't mention the M365 backup.
Yeah, 365, let's talk about
that. I have the information that is like the greatest part of the pie of the backup in Enable. It's the most growing resource like the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, it's correct. It's like taking off. Like it, because, well, first of all, what I said earlier, we are all moving to the cloud. We're worried about cyber attacks. We don't have enough people because data is moving to the cloud. Well, guess what, right? File servers are declining. OneDrive is increasing. Online, on-site, on-premises Exchange is going down. Exchange on, so obviously, there is a real conversion to SaaS anyway. And so, again, you should ask yourself, why should a backup application be different? But anyway, so I think the thought for a while there was, well, if it's on the hyperscaler, it's going to be protected. But that's not true. The hyperscalers give, of course, that reliability and uptime promise, right, that typically you can find in the SLA. But you are still responsible to protect the data. And people have started to realize that. So the combination of the growth of that workload or data source type, along with folks now realizing that I still need a backup or data protection solution, just makes it that this is the fastest growing segment in the market. So that's SaaS, right? But don't forget about IT as a service. So Azure VMs and so forth. Same phenomenon, yeah.
Sure.
By the way, I don't know if you heard about these guys, something like maybe months ago, I don't know, Microsoft named our M365 solution among the best backup their SaaS workload.
So,
congratulations, Stefan.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Really, and we're also going GA with Teams backup in like a week or a
couple
or
of days.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Right. It's coming.
That's cool.
So that's all about standardization, right? Nobody wants to have multiple backup solutions just to provide, because the ease of use, right, breaks apart when you have to have multiple dashboards, right? So now we can bring it in. You have one place to protect all your data, M365, workstations, critical servers, so all the workloads or data sources that an SMB cares about, that's the segment we play in. Well, those are the ones we cover, right?
So apparently we have like the perfect scenario. We have like top tier solution, backup technology. We have this like amazing company that is looking to their customers' business and trying to improve all of his segments. I don't know how the people can choose another solution instead
maybe because they don't know that in the description of this episode we have a link, a hyperlink, and who clicked on this link could just fill up some data, name, email, not more than that, and they will be able to test free for 30 days with full solution with our team helping commercial and technically with so many trainings and etc. for free, totally for free, and they can choose this software as their backup solution.
Absolutely.
Probably they don't know it yet, but now they know.
Someday they
will. Honestly, I would recommend. Totally agree. I always like to see it for myself. Just back up a VM. Take a server that has 50 gigs and then watch how we're only moving megabytes over the wire and a backup completes in 6 minutes. Don't take it from, just watch it, see it. And then if you like that efficiency, that would be maybe something worth checking. Because often what I hear is I can't be, it's impossible, too good to be true. Well, and then you do the test and you can see, wow, because we do things a little bit differently.
We always say that the costs related to backup solutions is not only related to the price of the solution itself. And for me, Cove is can represent this pretty well because it's super easy to use. So you will skip a lot of time trying to learn from different solutions how to perform a restore or a continuous restore. You have like TrueDelta, that is an incredible technology that keeps a small amount of data being going through the backup jobs. So when you're looking through a backup solution, trying to understand what is the other costs related to the product that's not the product itself. See how much time you spend configuring and set up the jobs, trying to do a restore, understand how the solution works and was built. So this is like a super like high thing to consider when you're looking for a backup solution.
And not always with a local support, local billing, local training to help you guys and all of your team in the best way that's possible.
I mean, we have a whole team that manages data centers, like all these 20. So you have it in local with everything SOC 2 compliance and, you know, all the patching. It's all done for you, right? Isn't that a better model? The power is paid. That's good, right? The real estate. I mean, otherwise, you're going to need to do this on your own. You can't just say, hey, the license cost is so cheap. Great. And then kind of ignore the other costs like it doesn't exist. That's just really just cost outside of the administrative overhead, right? That is also super small. Like, it's very compelling.
And I don't know if we can talk that, but our editor can cut this part if we don't. But we are receiving like two super cool technologies in the near future. That is event-based notification and also the anomalies detection that should also save you a ton of time trying to understand what is wrong about your backup. So for me, Enable is always looking for this perspective, like how can I help the MSP save his time, like managing stuffs and looking for their business through what really matters.
Tech efficiency matters. It's okay. We're not putting, you're not holding me to a quarter, thank God, right? So, but we are, the message is we are continuing to innovate. that's great. And by the way, it's the best team in the world. Right? This is also the thing we would invest in. It's always like the technology. Okay, great. So what? But it's the original team. So
people build technology.
It's the original team. There's pride. They understand it. They love this product, right? It's like a family. So you're making an investment in them as well, and they are producing, right? The value every month. There's a release, and we ship nice value slices, if you want to look at it that way, month after month after month, and that's an excellent example. Events. Why is that important? Well, a backup failed. Do you want to always look in the dashboard, or would you rather receive a text message? Or
open a Slack ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Or open a ticket. So obvious examples, those are the types of things. But you can see that's also not this, oh, wow, this is the most amazing, cool buzzword feature. But rather, it's something that actually helps a technician on the ground. And that says a lot about the philosophy as well, right?
Yeah. We also love Cove.
Yeah, we love Cove. And we love it to have you guys here. Not just for the MSP cast, but everything. The MSP Summit and all the meetings that we had here. And I think who is watching or listening to us right now is loving it too. So we want to thank you guys about that and say that if you need to learn more about COVID data protection or any Enable and AD products, just please feel free to ask us. Chama a gente em qualquer lugar, pelo Spotify, pelo Instagram, por e-mail, por telefone, como for mais fácil para falar com a gente está sempre à disposição.
Eu tenho uma pergunta, ok, so backup sem fronteiras, né? Tem uma palavra que é compare, né? Butterfly, como what's the name?
In Portuguese.
In Portuguese, yeah.
Borboleta.
Ok.
AKA Brabuleta.
Brabuleta.
Okay. All right. Butterfly.
Babushka.
It's the wrong but better way to say it.
Say one Babushka.
More. Babushka.
That's
I thought this close. Is a thing.
Babushka.
Babushka, it's an old woman.
Ah, okay.
But a butterfly is also like an old fancy woman, right? Yeah. Who passed so, his entire life be, in
not,
a
okay. not necessarily.
So it's Babushka.
Babochka.
Babochka. Babochka.
I think the German I think word is much more
I think my Russian accent is not so good.
It's not very good.
The German word is very, very soft. It's Schmetterling.
Schmetterling.
Babuleta, Babochka, Schmetterling.
Oh, God. <That's nice. laughs> But we know a lot of words in Russian and in German. We can say Prost.
Prost.
Yeah, Prost. Yeah, yeah.
Vodka.
Vodka. Vodka. We can say vodka.
Very German word.
With a so good naturally. Vodka. Maybe just that.
What is the country of Jägermeister?
Jägermeister. Jägermeister. It's German.
Yeah.
It's Austria.
Nee, yeah? Nee,
nee. I don't care. I don't care from where it comes.
I'm teasing.
I don't care from where it came. We just care it came.
Yeah. It's exactly. Just so, Victor, so this was your first trip, right, to Brazil?
To Brazil.
Brazil.
Planet Brazil. Okay. So, São Paulo, right?
Brazil with S, not with Z. Brazil. Brazil. S, yep. It's important to say.
So you went to a soccer game, jogo de futebol, what team?
I don't know, it's allowed São to Paulo. Say in, oh, yes. In the Atuba, yeah. I don't know if it's
it's
São Paulo.
Cool,
right? We have to teach that.
Wait a minute, so you learned the song, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah, so ready? Let's do it. Three.
God.
Then I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
Great.
Yeah.
Our São Paulo audience now is so happy, very happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also because you are lucky guys that you were go through a match and São very Paulo nice. Ends up winning the match, right?
Yeah, that was it, lucky.
Yeah, so
karma.
Yeah.
So guys, like we are in a winning team. We were in it before and like we proceed.
We just expanded the mark, the TAM a little bit, the target addressable market.
Yes, yeah, right.
Do you have any German football team that you were a fan of?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have this saying, it's great. I mean, the only team in Germany that can win the Champions League is Bayern Munich. Bayern Monarch. Bayern Monarch, whatever. Monarch.
Bayern de Munich.
Munich. Bayern de Munich.
Okay. People in Dortmund are not happy.
No, they're not happy. But my father loved, they're the only team that can win. I was like, I don't care. I don't like. But there's a cool team, and they have the slogan, we are we, because they have a cool culture that refuses to win. It's like a family. It's a little bit like a G, you know, at Cove. So they're successful. But I like Cologne. But they always lose, man. It's not good. They're not very successful.
And there's a city like called Cologne, right?
Cologne is a beautiful city.
Yeah. Like São Paulo. São Paulo and São Paulo team.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
How about you?
So,
Belarus team?
Yes, that's him. I think, but the Borisov, this would be my choice. So Borisov at some city, 50 kilometers from the Minsk, and in the past I was like very passionate.
That's nice.
About all the things.
I don't remember the song.
Вперед, Батэ.
Very nice. Good.
That's it.
I think so.
But before we end, in the end, I just wanted to say, guys, like, let me just use some popular song. Don't believe me, just try.
Oh, and we have to mention that Victor completely cleaned the coffee shop that we went like.
Oh, I'm laughing.
Some hours ago, he buy coffee. All of his coffee. I wish I could buy one for myself and was empty.
But Brazilian way of coffee shoppy?
Brazilian.
This kind of coffee shoppy. Yeah. Okay. Just to be sure.
We were looking for that too, but didn't find it.
Yeah. There's a red light district in that.
That's right. Whoa. Easy,
Amsterdam.
Tiger.
Amsterdam, yeah. Let's go.
I don't know.
Maybe we can go to Itatinga.
This is probably the part that we will cut.
Victor also cleaned out the churrasco. That was good.
Oh yeah.
Victor.
The plate.
Big backlog.
The meat mountain. That was a big backlog, and then you cleared the backlog very quickly.
Oh, I cleared it without any problem. Like
Alexis
with a good SLA.
Very good SLA.
20 minutes.
Meat sweats it's happening, and we're like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, so in the end, like, I was like close to dying.
And now it's 2 days without any food, because it's not necessary.
Exactly.
It's full for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the best part of being in a churrascaria, in a Brazilian churrascaria?
So just to check, churrascaria, it is...
Churrascaria is the place where we have this kind of barbecue.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the first experience of such restaurant. So it very eye-opening. So in the so I made a beginner mistake. So I just didn't know like what's going to happen. So
the word is ending. I have to read. So all of you
secured all the meat you can get your hand on.
There was some salad bar, right? So I just went straight here and just grabbed some potato, you know, like rice and beans, like a lot. So and then these guys with the meat. Like, why I did this? Like, I made a mistake, obviously. So I don't like food to be thrown up. So I like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this. Like,
you never know if the restaurant will close in 30 minutes. So right. It's better being fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very important, right? So speed, execution speed is very important.
Very good. Very impressed with the velocity.
Yeah, right.
But there's a thing in those places. I don't eat meat, but for the guys who eat. Probably picanha is the bad cut of the cow.
Yeah, like
the so, most famous.
Yeah. So yeah. They serve picanha at the end because you're already full. And
so
you lose that part.
I think so. I think in the end I was like, muito obrigado.
Muito obrigado.
And the guy said, yes. Yeah. He's denied.
So, yeah. And I was thinking about, I mean, some product manager standpoint. Okay, so how I would organize it so like someone would eat like a bit less, right? At the same time, would be happy with everything. So I'm happy, obviously, right? I didn't try like this last cut. I don't care.
I'm happy.
Churrascaria is a competition between you and the restaurant.
Yeah.
You are in a competition. Okay, who will win?
So I think it was a draw. In my case, it was a draw.
The restaurant always wins.
It was like definitely a draw. So I'm quite sure. So
that's good.
And Victor is also loved by pastel.
Pastel with couve? Pastel de couve?
No, just the cheese, right?
Cheese or meat?
Meat also.
I love
it. We have to create meat. One.
I think it would be a weird one.
Pastel
I like.
De couve.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be great, basically. So it should kale? Be right.
We'll be health and security.
Safe.
We have been safe.
Health and
that's a great, great idea, you know?
Like pastel de couve. Let's do it at Belarusian. Let's sure. Do it.
I'm in.
Let's do that in the next summit. Instead of ice cream, we should serve pastel de couve.
Great idea.
great change.
I'm sure.
Very good. Very good. I'd like to thank you again. And thank you everyone that stayed with us until now. And I will talk in Portuguese now. I speak in Portuguese now because it's just a little bit easier for us. Agradecer a todo mundo que ficou com a gente até aqui. E, Brunão, acho que a gente conseguiu desenrolar aqui um Imbromation no inglês. Você falando muito melhor do que eu, claro, mas...
Discordo, mas tudo bem.
Acho que a gente conseguiu, de alguma forma, concluir com sucesso esse episódio.
Você que é professor de inglês aí, que tá vendo vários erros nas nossas falas, desculpa, tá? Aqui a gente
Aceitamos
aulas, patrocina aí o SPcast. Se você quiser fazer uma aula pra gente, a gente tá super aberto. Mas acho que o objetivo foi cumprido, a gente conseguiu trazer duas pessoas que a gente gosta muito, tem um carinho muito grande, temos uma proximidade muito grande, e isso pode se estender a você, cliente, também. Então, eventualmente, se você precisar de algum contato, está com uma situação crítica, a gente está com alguns clientes já com backlog em chamados do Couve, que são críticos, e o Stefan está ajudando a gente, está entrando em contato com esses clientes. Então, é muito legal todo esse apoio que eles dão, e é muito legal ter eles aqui com a gente também, no nosso escritório, trabalhando um pouquinho com a gente, conhecendo um pouco da nossa rotina, conhecendo um pouco da nossa cidade, que a gente gosta tanto. E acho que é isso. Muito bom.
É isso aí. Muito obrigado, pessoal.
Muito obrigado.
Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Espero que vocês tenham gostado de participar desse episódio. Possivelmente o Victor não está entendendo nada do que eu estou falando.
Mas problema não. Eu ia explicar mais tarde. Talk
behind his back. Do you notice when Stefan will start speaks Portuguese, he turns on the swag button?
Yeah.
The swag button, yeah. So young, super cool.
So, yeah.
Surfer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
It's because it's a cool language.
Yeah.
So let's surf.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
We have a football match later today.
Yes, that would be great. Pelada.
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 With Heineken.
Partiu pelada.